There's not much that South African businesses can't handle, from riots and floods to load shedding and logistical bottlenecks to soaring inflation and interest rates. Our mid-market companies, though, have proved resilient with their fortitude. But in such a low-growth environment, how much longer can these businesses really afford to make a plan? I'm Jeremy Maggs. This is No Ordinary Wednesday. It's our programme that offers an in-depth look at what's driving markets, shaping the economy and changing the game. And in this episode, we're going to explore the mid-market landscape in South Africa. And by mid-market, I mean mid-sized to large private or unlisted companies. We're joined now by Dhiren Mansingh, Head of Business Transactional Banking at Investec, who's going to provide an on-the-ground perspective about what obstacles the mid-market is facing and how they can overcome these challenges to find growth. Dhiren, a very warm welcome to No Ordinary Wednesday. So let's start the conversation with a definition, if we can. What type of companies make up this all-important mid-market?
Thank you, Jeremy. Well, the mid-market traditionally, as we've defined it here, is the turnover between 30 million and 1.5 billion. We're talking about unlisted corporates, and generally they employ staff of between 50 to 500, although depending on the industry, some of them may employ multiples of that. They're also largely run by entrepreneurs, very successful Riley entrepreneurs. Some of these businesses are also family-owned, and this market spans across the various sectors that are prevalent in South Africa.
So it's a very wide-ranging definition. Dhiren, I would also contend that it's almost the engine room of the South African economy in many respects. How important is this sector?
So, Jeremy, I'm glad you said engine room, because it just reveals how critical this sector is to any economy. The mid-market, if I combine this together with the SME, make up a significant portion of all formalized businesses in the country. And when I say significant portion, I'm talking 70% and more of formalized businesses. They're also significant employers in the economy and material contributors to the GDP. So they are indeed the engine room. They are indeed the backbone of the economy. And when a country does well, and the GDP of the country does well, it means that these companies are doing well, contributing to that GDP growth.
And Dhiren, there's absolutely no doubt that they've been in for a torrid time in recent years. I've outlined the myriad challenges that the South African economy faces, but also this particular sector. And it's so hard to believe that many of these organizations are still there, standing up, rolling with the punches. What do you attribute this to? And I bet you're going to use the word resilience.
That was going to be my first word, actually, resilience. But let me start with something else then. I think, first of all, they have this entrepreneurial spirit. I've been privileged enough to meet now many businesses, many business owners, as Investec has gone further into this market and into this segment. And they all, almost all of them, have this theme of really being proper entrepreneurs. And that's why they're able to roll with the punches, because as you said, they operate in a very difficult environment and have been doing so for quite a long time. And I will use your word here again. They're also extremely resilient, given the obstacles that get thrown at them. I would add to that, Jeremy, that they are also very passionate about their business. They understand it thoroughly. They are flexible and able to pivot when things change around them. And I think that's what makes them successful. They also, what I found, is that they're very optimistic about their business. And also, which is refreshing to listen to, they're optimistic about South Africa in a realistic way. They're also realists, because they deal in the real economy. But I think that combination of resilience, entrepreneurship, and being optimistic is what makes them actually very successful and able to navigate these very difficult markets.
Dhiren, I want to talk to you in just a moment about high inflation and the interest rate environment, but I'm very interested to hear that you're at the coalface, so to speak, that you're engaging with these organizations, you're on the road, you're shaking their hands. In spite of the optimism that you've just mentioned to me, they must be worried, though. But what is their current state of mind?
I think business confidence, Jeremy, if you've seen the recent business confidence metrics, it has been steadily decreasing, although the most recent one shows a slight uptick. I think they're worried about quite a few things. The common things that we normally hear of is infrastructure concerns, energy availability, politics, the lack of government delivery, service delivery by municipalities, and I think the red tape and regulatory environment that makes it difficult to operate businesses. In addition to that, I think there is also a concern around, in certain sectors more than others, the lack of skills in South Africa. And that could be partly due to immigration as well. That's troubled actually many businesses that we speak to. And I think sort of that, some of the list, Jeremy, there's more. There's also, when you look at it, they all deal in sectors that are invariably exposed to market dynamics of interest rates, foreign exchange, commodities, and the volatility of this invariably then affects their businesses as well.
So, Diren, let's focus on that then, the impact of high inflation and a very difficult interest rate environment. It must be very difficult for these organizations. What is your assessment of impact?
I think, look, inflation, high inflation on any economy is something that central banks try to avoid and try to mitigate. The reason is once inflation gets into the system, it makes things very costly and eventually grinds that economy to a halt almost, if left unchecked. And that's why you've seen, and this is a global phenomenon, that central banks around the world react quite aggressively to higher inflation. We've seen this in the developed world, and we see this in South Africa as well. Now, how inflation will affect businesses, and in particular the mid-market, is that it increases input costs, it increases labor costs, and as a result puts constraints on their businesses and on their cash flows. Generally, inflation as well, high inflation is targeted with higher interest rates. And as you can imagine, higher interest rates increases debt servicing costs and as such puts further constraints on the business. And also higher interest rates reduces disposable income to consumers, which then further reduces demand across sectors, which then once again falls back to affecting this mid-market space as well.
So they would be looking for assistance. What solutions are available to help the mid-market companies navigate these problems and risks that you've outlined?
I think, Jeremy, if I could look at it holistically, if I look at market dynamics, so these businesses, irrespective of what sectors they are in, are invariably exposed to interest rates if they borrow, they're exposed to currency if they import or export, they're exposed to commodity prices if they're using fuel or input costs, metal input costs. They are exposed to these variables that are outside their control. And I think having a considered hedging policy to mitigate some of these risks, take into account the understanding of their business, the understanding of their cash flows, can assist them in providing some sort of certainty so that they can concentrate on the core of their business without worrying as much about the volatility to these underlying variables. Also, what I would add is a mix, and this will be dependent company by company, the mix of equity versus debt in their capital structure, and that needs to be a healthy mix, which allows a company to sustain higher interest rates should interest rates increase as well.
Diren, specifically regarding the volatility of the currency, though, what should organizations do to protect themselves against this risk? How do they approach hedging in that respect?
Well, if you look at the Rand is one of the most volatile currencies in the world. It has depreciated significantly over the last few years, and it is two sides of this coin. So if you're in a sector that imports raw materials in order to sell it, you are affected by input costs increasing significantly, and you want to adopt considered FX hedging protocols in order to take into account this volatile rand. Having said that, there are some industries that actually benefit from a weaker rand. The tourism industry or any sector and company that actually exports because their goods become cheaper from a dollar context. But I think just generally prudent hedging policies is understanding what your business can tolerate by shocking underlying variables and seeing how that affects your cash flows. So you shock interest rates, you shock currency, you shock commodities, and then you determine how that affects your business and your cash flows going forward. And then based on that, you look at what hedging solutions can be incorporated into your business to mitigate those shocks.
We'll continue this conversation in a moment, but first I'd like to tell you about The Current, a new series that has launched on Investec Focus Radio SA. Hosted by seasoned broadcaster Iman Rapetti, the show delves into key aspects of South Africa's energy transition, from fixing Eskom to exploring the potential of electric vehicles and the role the mining, oil and gas sectors have to play. Episode 2 has just dropped. To listen, follow Investec Focus Radio SA wherever you get your podcasts. Duren, I want to talk now about companies and becoming future fit in this very difficult environment that you've outlined for us. So we've spoken about the uncertainty created by inflation and interest rates. That obviously leads to delayed or reduced investment in growth or innovation. Where do you think this sector is going to be investing this year? What is on their horizon?
Well, Jeremy, let's put into context the year. We actually have our general elections in May, and in an election year in any country, generally investments are subdued leading up to the elections. It's almost a wait-and-see policy, and this is not unique to South Africa. This is a global phenomenon. So I think, as a result, investments, at least to the first part of the year, would be somewhat subdued over and above just general capex to run the business. Going forward, though, I think companies will invest in skills development. You know, I've mentioned earlier that skills shortage has been an issue for businesses, so I think we'll see investments in that. I think there will be investments in infrastructure, so we've seen lots of companies invest in energy backup. That may continue. And I think it's really a wait-and-see policy for now. And then I think things will change post-elections, Jeremy, and then we'll see what opportunities present themselves.
I'm glad you used that word opportunity. So Investec launching its business banking proposition in the midst of a very tough economic time for this mid-market. Where then are those opportunities?
Jeremy, there are some green shoots already. So we were very privileged to have the Minister of Finance and the DG of the National Treasury, Dr. Duncan Peterser, at our Investec offices recently. They spoke to some of our clients and our colleagues. And it was very refreshing to hear them talk about the fiscal discipline with which they've already installed in their ambit, as well as the fiscal discipline they still will outline. Now, some of it is related to money to SOEs or guarantees to SOEs, and that coming with very stringent conditions and metrics and measurements, and failing delivery of those, that would result in penalties. So that was one thing they emphasized. To quote the minister, he used the words tough love, you know, tough love to the SOEs, which is refreshing to hear. The second thing is that they emphasize public-private partnership. So the participation of private sector more into the economy, which was encouraging to hear. And that's encouraging also to this mid-market space getting more involved with government in order to tackle some of the issues like infrastructure concerns that are facing the country. So these were two positive things. Now, if I look at it, there was a recent media announcement actually by BUSA, Business Unity South Africa, as well as Business for South Africa, which actually said the progress that they've made since November 2023 of collaboration of business together with government. And I'll just mention a few of these things, Jeremy. So if I look at load shedding is 60% less now versus this time last year, and actually 80% less if you take into account stage 4 and above. So what we are starting to see is the decoupling of load shedding from Eskom's energy availability factor. And I think that what that demonstrates is the impact of alternative energy sources that are coming into the economy, such as rooftop solar, which the business segment and the business community has a large part to play. You know, another example would be transports and logistics. Another stat that they've mentioned is that there's a 45% reduction in vessels anchored outside the Port of Durban, and a 36% reduction in the waiting time to anchor for container vessels as well. So this is significant progress, which they've contributed to capable executive leadership. But I think on top of that, they're driving the private sector participation framework, which really outlines very clear actions and timeframes to ensure more efficient logistics networks, which, as you know, the logistics issues has really affected businesses in general, particularly the mid-market in South Africa. Now, what this also does is the private sector participation framework encourages private sector investment and also encourages competition in operations. And coming back to the tough love that the minister was talking about, implementation of this roadmap is already underway, and key milestones are included in the conditions attached to the 47 billion rand guarantee that was recently extended to Transnet. So these are positive things. I know there's a lot of negative things affecting South Africa, but these are some of the positive things that have actually come through recently that general South Africans should be feel quite positive about, and certainly the business segment and the mid-market segment as well.
So interesting, because many of those opportunities that you've just outlined are visibly tangible. You can't drive in a neighborhood these days without seeing the abundance of solar panels, for instance. So Duren, as we wrap up our conversation then, I'm correct in saying that you launched the business banking offering not too long ago. There must have been some very interesting lessons that you have learned from this segment during your tenure.
Lots of lessons, and I'm sure the lessons will continue. Look, we've always been in this segment with certain value propositions. What we've done as Investec over the last 3 years, we've launched a far more consolidated client value proposition specifically focus at this mid-market slash business segment. And this value proposition consists of the full spectrum of lending. It includes transactional banking, foreign exchange, investment products, the full spectrum. And what I've learned, actually, the main thing is it's been very encouraging dealing, meeting, and learning a lot more about these businesses from these business owners and these entrepreneurs. These are special people in South Africa. They are entrepreneurs. They are resilient. They are able to be flexible and pivot their businesses as things change. They really understand their businesses very well. And what's very refreshing, and it's been great to learn from them, is their level of optimism. You know, Investec is generally an optimistic place, so we've got things in common. But these are some of the learnings that we've been very grateful to learn from them. And we're looking forward to continuing growing our market share in this space and providing value to a very significant client segment of the South African economy.
And I'm going to leave it there. And thank you so much for a fascinating conversation. Duren Munsing, Investec's Head of Transactional Business Banking, thank you so much for joining me on this edition of No Ordinary Wednesday.
Thank you, Jeremy.
A new episode of No Ordinary Wednesday drops every fortnight. To ensure that you don't miss a program, follow Investec Focus Radio SA wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like the channel, please take a moment to rate us. Until next time, goodbye from me, Jeremy Maggs, and the entire Focus Radio team.
The views expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm and should not be taken as advice or recommendations. Investec Limited and subsidiaries, authorized financial service providers, registered credit providers, and long-term insurer.